those words were so good in that song, I think I'm going to steal them and use them again here in just a minute. Yeah. So I appreciate so much, Steve, your selection of songs, because the music complements the message, and so we're very thankful about that. The purpose of a memorial is to preserve something in our memories. The Lord Jesus left instructions to regularly do what we are about to do to preserve two things in our memory. In eating the broken bread, we remember that Jesus' body was broken for his disciples. This is so important for disciples to remember regularly, because disciples sin regularly. We read, "By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." But we don't follow Jesus perfectly, do we? We want to stop sinning, but sometimes sins are very persistent. For many of us, we live with our failures day after day. With Satan's help, our thoughts can go to all sorts of bad places. One of the worst being discouragement, despair, hopelessness, and condemnation. That's when we need to hear and we need to remember that Jesus' body was broken for us. Jesus paid it all. The Father's wrath was fully satisfied. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're sitting here asking, how can that be? My sin is so great. I mean, after we've done the same wretched thing 5,000 times, I mean, can't we presume that God's patience has worn out? My sin is so great. In the bread, we need to see that his mercy and his grace is greater than all our sin. All our sin. Eating this bread helps to preserve that in our memories. We just sang the words, and I hope, you know, I want to bookend this table message with the words of the song. I don't deserve to be your servant, and how much less to be your child. Anger and wrath, sure condemnation, should be my portion, my just reward. But listen to this. I never have seen it. I never will know it. Your loving kindness enfolds my life. All you have shown me is grace, love, and mercy. Now and forever, I am your child. Freely you poured out your loving kindness, Father of grace. You welcomed me in. All of the sin I have committed was placed upon your righteous Son. He was broken for us. And now you see me through his perfection as if I'd never done anything wrong. Is that incredible or what? Always forgiven. Not sometimes. Always forgiven. Always accepted. No fear of judgment before your throne. Is that incredible? But that's only one of the things Christ wants to implant in our memories through this memorial. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So Jesus also wants his disciples to preserve the new covenant in our memories. This is important because we live in a world that God has subjected to futility. We are surrounded by corruption, meaningless talk, and activity that leads to destruction. But God. But God has established a new covenant, sealed with the blood of his own Son. It's his promise to make all things new, starting with us, Jesus' disciples. We are the first fruits of his new creation. It's so easy to get sucked into the futility of this corrupted world. Isn't that true? We get caught up in the meaningless talk and activity that surrounds us every day, and we forget that our lives do have meaning. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What we do now as disciples of Christ matters for eternity. So instead of falling into the state of despair and hopelessness, we hope for what we know is coming, and we participate with Christ and the Holy Spirit to bring it about. So as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death and all that that means until he comes. That preserves in our memories what we need to help us to persevere until he returns to deliver everything he promised. The Lord's Supper is for the Lord's disciples. Jesus said, "Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." If there's anyone in this room that hasn't come to Jesus yet because you think you're too dirty or soiled to do that, will you please hear that message? Anyone who comes to me, I will never cast out.
Praise the Lord.
He will not look at you and say, "You are too wretched." Anyone who comes to him, he will surely not cast out. Jesus' disciples aren't sinless. We can read the epistles and look at our own lives to see that truth instantly. True disciples come to Jesus for everything because they trust him. It's that simple. There's nothing hard to do. A little child can do it. If that describes you, then come and dine at the table, at his table. Come to have his broken body and his new covenant preserved in your memory so that you can persevere in living out your imperfect but meaningful new life. Amen? So I don't want to take a heavy moment of introspection. I want you to just feel the glory of that weight getting lifted off your shoulders. Because if you've come in here all burdened down with the weight of your sin, this is the time to come and remember that his body was broken for you, and that you're in the process of being made new. And we should celebrate that when we come to the table. So if you're a disciple, I just want you to sit and pray and just thank the Lord for what he has done. And then in just a moment, I'm going to have Aaron pray for the bread, which is just a symbol that signifies God's or Christ's broken body for us. So take just a moment.
Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would help us never grow tired or complacent thinking about your gospel and your the truth, the simple truth that you took our sin on Jesus, took our sin on yourself, and gave us your righteousness. The great exchange of our sin being placed on him and his righteousness being applied to us, that when you look at us, we're completely clean, completely righteous. And Father, I thank you that you not only saved us from the penalty of sin, but you also saved us from the power of sin in our lives. And I ask that you would help us to live lives that are worthy of the calling that which you've called us. And I thank you that someday you will save us completely from the presence of sin, and that we will be able to spend all of eternity praising you for the very simple gospel and all of the grace and all the mercy that you have shown us and all the truth that you have revealed to us in just a small portion now. And I just thank you for this time that we can remember that, and I ask that you would help it to be effectual in our lives, and that your grace and your mercy would be ultimately effectual in all of our lives. In Jesus' name.
Paul wrote, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Scott to pray for the cup, which symbolizes the new covenant that was secured by Jesus' own shed blood.
Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for shedding the blood of your Son for us. We thank you for doing something that we would consider awful countercultural today, Lord, because when we see blood, we're afraid and abhorred and disgusted sometimes. But you used it to wash away our sins. So we rejoice in the blood of Jesus. We thank you for shedding it for us. We thank you for your power in raising Christ from the dead so that he can triumph over sin and death for us. Father, we praise you in this and ask that you would make us thankful and joyful in your sacrifice for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." When we come back to the table and reflect on all that Christ did, not just in the cross, but just even starting with the incarnation, where he took on a human form and came and lived a human life and a perfect life, and then suffered the brutality of death on the cross, and all this benevolence that was displayed in Christ to people who didn't deserve it. And so one of the ways that we like to end the table observance is to take up a benevolent offering so that we can follow Christ's example and give back generously so that it can be used to expand his kingdom. I'm going to have Gabe just pray for the Lord to use this offering that we collect right now.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us so greatly with every spiritual blessing, and Father, with all sorts of physical blessings here and now. And we rejoice just now that we are able to give back a portion of that which you've given to us to help those in need, to help further your kingdom. And Father, not just the monies that are received this morning, but that each day and the weeks to come and years that we would give back of our own service to you to further the kingdom, that you would use us as vessels, that we would be willing, and that we would receive joy in doing so. We thank you, Father. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.